All right, here we go.
This is the one.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
And we're back at ya. I don't know why I always try and start off all cool.
Everything happens. Yeah. Everything happens.
I don't know. I never know how to start. Because normally we used to not have the song there playing. Right. It would just be like, hey, man, what's up? Right. But now that we're actually structured, I'm like, how do I say hi to everyone? Which is just hi, everyone, I guess.
Hey, or whatever.
Hey, just we're back at you.
Let like, it flow.
What am I doing?
Let it flow.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to another episode of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I am BJ.
And you can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Particularly follow us on Instagram, because that's where we do all of our stuff these days. You can watch BJ do the dishes 8 times.
Did I made a new one. Did I release that one yet?
I don't think so.
Rick and Morty doing dishes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that was
no, then there was another one. I think I've done a third one.
Like, of dishes? The time-lapse one?
Yeah. I don't know if I released it or not yet.
It's fantastic.
It was a little bit different.
I like all of them.
I do, too.
It's great.
Yeah,
and it's content, and people want content.
Oh no, because on this latest one,
yeah.
I used the Life is a Binge mug and held it up to the camera.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay, so I'm going to be posting that one soon.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I've been getting crazy with what I'm posting.
I dig it. Like, that's what's there
some, like, just obscure pictures. I like Jesse's slow motion,
oh, yeah.
You know, Pets a Rule, and then this little Life's a Binge. Like, it has nothing to do with anything,
right?
It's just
but it's
silly
awesome.
And fun.
And it's there.
So, yep.
So follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And
see what we put up next.
That's right.
It could be anything.
And if you have a question or a comment or whatnot, you can email us at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And
you check
can,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you?
No.
I thought you had to put it on your phone to log in. Maybe it was Matt or Jess or somebody.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
I got an email like somebody new logged in on your Gmail account, and I was like, yeah, they're allowed. Hopefully.
I like I don't think I.
Facebook probably sold our email to somebody or something.
I'm sure they did.
And you can give us a call at 619-438-0532.
Speaking of that,
it's a voicemail system. Yes. Speaking of that,
you know, we've been talking to Woodsy, Stephen Woods.
Yes.
Formerly of Cantorian Woods. And
yes.
Now of, I can't think of his partner.
Ben.
On the,
Ben and Woods on
Ben
1090.
Ben and Woods.
Yes.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, and he's interested.
Yes.
He's interested to come on and do an episode with us.
That'd be fantastic.
It would be great. But to call him and say, you know, to get the ball rolling.
Call the phone.
Get the call,
yeah.
and do the same to the mayor. The mayor can do it, and it won't be that big of a you
right.
know, commitment.
Just give us a ring and ding it.
Yeah.
619.
And then, of course,
and we'll play it on the
excuse
air.
Excuse me.
And
Jay Leno, of course.
And scrutinize them to all get out.
We'll get all the because it's easier for them, and then eventually we'll get them onto the show.
Yeah, just call.
But call.
Even if they just call and say, hey, this is so-and-so of such-and-such, and you're listening to Life's a Binge. You know how cool that would be if, like, Jay Leno was like, hey, guys, this is Jay Leno.
Jay Leno's going to come on the show.
Right.
He doesn't believe me.
But if he calls the voicemail first, it'd be easier.
It would be easier.
And he could say, hey, this is Jay Leno. You're listening to Life's a Binge. And how cool would that bumper be at the beginning of the episode?
It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome.
But you could do that right now and be like, hey, this is Joe
Schmo. Right.
And you're listening to Life's a Binge.
And they're like, Joe Schmo. I love Joe Schmo.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I got to subscribe to this podcast.
So 619-438-0532 to do that. And patreon.com/lifesabinge if you want to support us financially of any sense, like Tony. And David is our new $5.
I talked to David today.
And he's a SeaWorld David?
It's David.
Thanks, man, that
I'm talking about. Now, you may know David.
And there's a couple. Yeah, go ahead.
He's kind of a shorter, older gentleman who works like in park prep and other stuff.
Gutierrez, I think is his last name.
Rodriguez.
Oh, I was way off.
I said Martinez when I talked to him. And I said, is your last name Martinez?
We are like, no. A bunch of racists.
And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, what's your last name? And he's like, Rodriguez. Oh, yeah. I'm like, but it was you, wasn't it? Like, you're, and he's like, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, thanks, man.
Sweet.
It is. It's like freaking heartwarming. Yeah. It's like,
it's really,
nice.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And there's a couple honorary bingers out there as well. So thanks to all of our patrons out there. You guys rock.
Right on.
But right now, let's start the episode. So go ahead and breathe in with us. Life's a binge.
Right?
Yes. Right. We're just going to keep on moving. Keep on moving.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, man?
Well, we are rocking and rolling and...
rocking all the ribbon bobberan.
How was your day yesterday?
My day yesterday?
Bobberan.
Yeah, you said rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling bobberan.
My day yesterday? Was fine.
Yesterday just seemed like a particularly excellent day. Like, it was just excellent day in every way, it just seemed. So it was really fun.
Nice.
So
that was what's up. You had a good day?
Had a good day.
You had a good Saturday?
Well, it was cool. So I had a friend from high school come and visit this weekend.
Okay.
So they came, Angie Parrish.
Like staying in your house or staying in a hotel?
She didn't stay at the house. Yeah, yeah. She stayed in a hotel. But she flew in to it was really spontaneous. She flew in, went to the BJ and the Biz gig last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday night, I should say.
Yes.
And then Saturday came to the park. And then so in between, it was really exhausting because, you know, if you have people in the park, you're like working and then you're like showing them
off. Yeah, show them around.
Yeah, and you're walking around the whole time. And so
let's meet an animal.
Right.
And you're like,
Yeah. But it was great. Yeah. And it was really kind of awesome because it's kind of showing off a little bit because it was a cartoonishly large amount of love from everybody. Every time we went, BJ, like, stop, waving
BJ
me down.
You're the best person I've ever met.
Yep, it was like that. Like, it was like if you paid people to, like, walk around and I'd say at the end, I'm like, this is, like, normally, like, you see people and they say hi and they say, hey, you know.
There's not somebody at the Sky Tower like, BJ!
Yeah.
Yo, I love you, dude!
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was, like, on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then it was a giant crowd, like, a packed
nice.
Crowd.
That's awesome.
And it felt like maybe we're turning the corner.
Right. Seven Seas is still going on.
They added two extra weekends.
It's crazy.
Yeah, two extra weekends. So this weekend and then next weekend's the last one.
Right.
But so anyway, that was really, really cool. It was great.
He had a solid Saturday.
Solid Saturday.
I've just been working. Work.
That's what I was doing too.
That's about it.
Yeah
exactly.
Sorry, man.
Only my work is not nearly as fun anymore. But nothing really was up with me. Is that about it? That wraps that up?
Well, I mean, I could go on and on, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about, especially in the next segment. So.
Okay.
Advance, what's up?
Yeah.
I like it when I do it more than once.
Advance, what's up?
Do.
That is a nice, deep, echoing thing.
You know, so. It's fun.
This just in. Oh, all right. So we got a lot of stuff here.
There is a lot of stuff.
So, I
don't know if do you have like fun, good stuff, or is it all? Are we just going to talk about all the unfortunate stuff?
I mean, there's unfortunate stuff, but it's fun to talk about too.
Yeah, it is. People dying is fun to talk about.
Yeah, in a way, you know. Okay. Sometimes your memories, you know, you know, it's just like when you're grieving, you want to get to the point where the pleasant memories are more prevalent than the grief of
celebration of
losing
life
them.
Instead
yes.
of like
right.
mourning of a loss.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you're kind of every time that something like that happens, you want to get to that point
right
as soon as you can. You know, because grieving isn't as nearly as fun.
Absolutely.
Or nice. So.
But yeah. So I just realized it's April, and there's been a bunch of. I wouldn't say celebs. I use the word celebrity loosely, but like high profile. Deaths, anyway, and we haven't mentioned any of those at all, so I thought that this would be a good time to do that.
Well, I mean, we can just do this week. There's plenty this week.
No, it's ridiculous. Well, and then, like, so what was, like, the biggest one that was, like, a kind of a shocker for you?
I mean, none of them were really shocking, really. Well, I mean,
I think
for me,
Barbara Bush was not shocking because, like, she was 92.
Right.
But, like, she's just out of sight, out of mind, basically.
Right.
Like, I know, and it was like, oh, that's news. Oh, that's kind of a bummer because she was always, like, looked at as, like, America's grandma.
She, yeah.
Like, she's a sweet old lady. And,
right.
like, there was, as far as I know, politics aside, like, nobody had any beef with Barbara Bush. Like,
I don't think anybody did. No,
right.
she was sweet as the day is long.
Yeah.
Now, you know I have a Barbara Bush story, right?
No.
Yeah, I met Barbara Bush.
Once. Do tell. That's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. So, about 15, 20 years ago, it was during Clinton's presidency.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Boston, and all my siblings went to. It was for my dad's 70th birthday, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe 60th birthday, because it was 20 years ago, so it must have been 60th.
Sure.
Yeah, 60th. That makes more sense. So anyway, went to Boston, and had a great time, had a party with a bunch of the family. You know, our family's huge out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're driving to the airport, and on the way to the airport, Dennis Johnson, who used to be a basketball player who played for the Celtics during their championship years,
yes.
He happened to be like driving in the car next to us. He's kind of recognizable because he's black and he's got freckles.
Yes.
And so he's like, that's Dennis Johnson, like waving. We thought it was so cool. So anyway, we get to the airport, right? And that's just to say, because it was like, oh, we saw someone famous.
Sure.
We get to the airport and I kind of noticed there's some people with the little ear things in,
yep.
with the little thing, and I'm like, huh,
somebody's here.
Around here.
Yeah, somebody's here.
So we're like waiting for our plane, and there's this lady, and I'm like, God dang, she looks familiar, and she's got a Cocker Spaniel with her, and
yep.
I'm like, my first thought was, this is the Queen, and it's funny because I look at a picture of Barbara Bush,
right.
and a picture of like Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And they have the same sort of hair,
of course,
and you know, and face.
Hey,
and
not all old ladies look alike,
all
BJ.
All old white ladies look alike. So.
Rodriguez?
So, yeah.
Martinez? Right. Gutierrez?
Yeah. Bush? No. No.
Yeah.
What's the queen's last name?
Elizabeth.
There's something. Anyway.
Couldn't tell you, dude.
I couldn't tell you either.
But
anyway.
No idea.
So I'm like, I go out to pet the dog. I pet the dog too. I'm like, hi. And then I'm like looking. And I'm like, yeah. She looks familiar. And she was real nice. She said something. I'm like, yeah, that's Millie. And blah, blah, blah.
To you? Or to whoever
to
she
me,
was with.
I mean, we're right. She's holding the dog. We're like, for me to you. And I'm petting the dog. And then kind of like
you just
stand
walked
up
and pet the dog?
Yeah.
And they didn't like tackle you or anything?
There were people right around, clearly.
Like, yeah.
But I didn't really pay attention to them. I didn't notice them at the time.
Sure.
And we were just at one of the gates.
Okay.
And then, and all of a sudden, George Bush comes by. And like, so it was like,
hi, how you doing? I see
and
you
was,
met my wife.
He was
Barr.
Tall. He was like 72.
Yeah.
I mean 6'2", I mean, or so.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And but anyway, my dad's like, good to see you, Mr. President. Like,
because
nice. We were all like, that's President Bush.
Right.
Yeah. And,
that's how it'd be if I met any president. Maybe not our president right now. Maybe not.
Right.
But like usually that title holds some weight.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, dude.
But it was cool. And she was real nice.
That's awesome.
So that's my Barbara
Bush. That's a bummer
story.
That she passed.
Yes.
And then in this like actual celebrity world, just like literally yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yesterday.
Vern Troyer.
Yeah.
Mini-Me from Austin Powers died. Like out of nowhere. Like, I mean, not out of nowhere. Like all these people.
I assume he had some kind of condition.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever watched like any, like, I'm almost embarrassed to say that I watched it now, but like one of his shows that were. Like, what do they call it? Like the celebrity reality shows where they all live together. And one was like Flavor Flav was on it, and they have like you know that one show.
It was,
and
where they got the B celebrity, and like Vanilla Ice was on that one too.
Yeah, and they all live in the same house.
Yep, I know.
And Vern Troyer was on there, and he was like embarrassingly drunk peeing on himself type of embarrassing.
Yes,
like it was really like painful.
What was that show? I don't remember what it was called. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Some of
about,
the
though.
Listeners are like, it was called
619-438.
Yeah, tell us what that show was.
Yeah.
But anyway, how entertaining was he in, you know, in Austin Powers?
Seriously.
You know? So that's sad. It's sad.
Well, and that just reminded me of what our main topic is, like the same. I'm sure there was something similar kind of going on with him.
Being in pain and
right, just like just knowing like you're on short, you know, short term,
right.
Basically. Who else was there?
So and then Harry Anderson.
Oh man,
which was you know, I remember hearing about him years ago, and you know, on network television that will give a upcoming actor who they're looking into maybe giving a deal to a guest spot on a other show.
Oh, is
so
that...
like on Mad About You, they'll like give somebody a guest shot.
Sure.
Or on Seinfeld, they'll give somebody a guest role, and then
is
later
that,
they'll show up.
Is that how he got on Cheers?
He was on Cheers, right? And then,
I remember
and then that's
from
how
Cheers.
He got on Night Court. Yeah,
and he's it, named Harry on Cheers. Hey,
right,
Harry.
Right.
And like he'd come in and like rob them for all their money.
Right.
And like
yeah.
then he'd leave. Yeah.
Right. And then he got Night Court,
God,
which is
Night
very
Court
successful.
Was such a good show.
It was very funny.
Bing, I could do the whole theme song. I'm not going to.
I was
going to
say go ahead because
I
can't. I can't quite grab it yet. Like, but
it then goes into like a horn section and it's a whole thing. Yeah. I could do it, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Like, again, like, kind of out of sight, out of mind, but it's like, it reminds you of, like, man, I love Night Court. That was such a good show.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just remember him from Cheers and as adult Ricky Tozier in It, like the It miniseries.
See, I never saw that one.
Ugh. Dude, you're missing out.
I'm sure I did. Yeah. I saw the movie.
He's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And
not Ricky, sorry.
And then Arlie Ermey.
Oh,
now
yeah,
this one was like a.
That's another one.
Yeah, this one for me, it like had a, like a big personal, kind of connection to me because
sure.
like when I was in college, like a lot of folks, I think it's like a rite of passage for anybody, especially in arts, like to fall in love with Clockwork Orange and become a Stanley Kubrick person.
Sure. Yes.
Like
yeah,
like even like nowadays,
you
like,
kind of have to.
Yeah, you'll like I remember like years and years afterwards hearing like people in a bar saying, "Man, you ever seen Clockwork Orange?" Like that's you know that's the shit, man. And I was like, "Damn, that was us 25 years ago doing saying
right.
the exact same thing."
Yeah,
and we were 10 years, 15 years after the fact
after it came out. Yeah.
Anyway, we were into Stanley Kubrick, and it was a big deal that he had a movie coming out, and this was Full Metal Jacket
oh,
back
yeah.
in the day. And so I remember seeing it on the day it came out, and that opening scene where they're in the boot camp
mm-hmm.
in Paris Island in South Carolina, and he's like, "My name, I'm Gunnery Sergeant Harmon, your senior duelist sergeant. The first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots get that? Sir, yes, sir. Bullshit. Sound off like you got a pair. Sir, yes, sir. If you survive my recruit training, you know, you will be a weapon of war." And I used to be able to say the whole thing.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So one summer at Solduck, working there.
Solduck?
Solduck Hot Springs up in the Olympic Peninsula of Washington.
Everyone knows that.
Everybody in the Northwest.
Way to drop that city.
Yeah.
One time
no,
I was
actually,
in Solduck.
Solduck is just the name of the town. So
oh,
it's like
okay.
It's like an Indian name.
Sure.
So it's between Port Angeles and Forks up on the peninsula.
Solduck.
Solduck. S-O-L-D-U-C. Solduck.
And all one word?
Nope, two words.
Oh, okay.
And it was a hot springs resort.
Okay, sure.
And so I got hired to work there over the phone.
okay.
And they said, "Can you come up and
start
this week?
Yeah,
start this weekend." So, yeah. So, anyway, we watched it. There was no TV and no radio.
Okay.
So everything was like VHS. Like,
right.
We watched movies all the time because that's all we had.
Sure.
We watched Full Metal Jacket. Over and over again. And so my friend Steve-O.
That's kind of an interesting movie to be like, well, let's put this one on repeat.
We watched so many movies like over and over
again. I get
again,
it, but like that movie's like, oh.
I know, but we were all into it. We were way into it.
Sure.
It was Stanley Kubrick.
Sure.
We were like, thought we were really cool because of that. And it's a very good movie.
Yes.
And so our friends, we would like take turns being the drill sergeant and the other one would be the. There's certain, so you know, they're like, "Private BJ," that's what Steve would call me. "Private
nice.
BJ, what's your major malfunction?" You know, and so, and we would go back and forth. Anyway, we just, it was a big part of our existence.
I just think it's crazy that he went from being an actual, like, drill instructor
mm-hmm.
to being Hollywood's military guy.
Right.
Like, Full Metal, he was the, like, a lot of people don't recognize, they're like, "Why do I know this voice from Toy Story? Who's that, who's the army guy?"
Mm-hmm.
As Arlie Ermey, like, how do you go from that career to the army guy in Hollywood career?
Oh, I think it's probably smooth. I mean,
I don't, is it?
He was actually in the army.
Right.
You know, and then, like,
but do you think he had a passion of, like, one day I'll be an actor? Or do you think it was,
who doesn't?
Or, well, some people hate being known
they're
or
lying.
Being in front
they're
of people.
Lying.
No, people are terrified.
I think he was just naturally really good at it.
He was
like
clearly.
They said for Full Metal Jacket, they didn't know it was going to happen during a lot of those scenes. They just let him roll.
Oh, so
really? The actors didn't know. It was a lot of those reactions were very real.
Yeah.
They just were like, "All right, do your thing."
Yeah, go in there and scare the piss out of these uh-huh. kids.
Like,
yeah.
make them cry. That's real.
And it was, you know, and it was funny. And if you've seen the movie, it starts off and he's like going through, and it's kind of, and it's funny. Yeah. It's like funny. It's right. like he's got this edge to him, and he's like, "There's no racial bigotry. I don't look down on niggers and kikes and wops and greasers, and you're all equally worthless to me." And then and everyone's and it's kind of so laughing, good. And then they get up to Private Pyle, like Vincent D'Onofrio, which is one of his big first big roles where he got a bunch of exposure, and he's got a little goofy smile. He's like, "You can wipe that smile off your face anytime, sweetheart," and then he's like. Has him get on his knees. He's like, "Now choke yourself," and then the whole thing, the whole mood just changes all of a sudden. And then, dude, that movie's brilliant. Like the way that he tortures Pyle the whole time, and this all the stuff that's going on. He's like, "You'll be a minister of war. You will be a trained killer.
Yep.
We leave. We have a deal with God where we keep heaven stocked with fresh bodies, and God has a hard on for Marines because of it." Yeah.
But it, like, so, totally puts you in that mindset of, like, this is what happened. Like, this is what
it does.
That,
it makes
this
you
is what happened, and this is how these people
yeah.
got trained, and yeah. it's, like, blows your mind. And then when
and then
they come
the scene
home.
At the end of that first part, it's, like, two acts where he loses it and like, yep. has the gun. Oh, my God. That's one of the most tense-filled scenes I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. So,
well, I saw it when my grandpa was a diehard Marine, and
right.
he showed it to us when I was like 9.
Oh boy!
Yeah, he
oh
was like, boy. "Come on, girls, we're gonna watch a good movie.
We're gonna teach you the way."
We had a day off of school, and I remember my sister and I just sat there and like stared, and we were like, "I don't know what to do about this."
Oh so, boy!
I did an early introduction. It was a little heavy for 9.
I'm sure,
but,
it's heavy for anybody.
But, yeah. but you know, I still have a good respect for it. But that was always my favorite movie of his. But yeah, it was a little. It was a little early exposure, I think.
Right on.
So the voice you just heard is Rebecca Bissett. She's
hello.
Our guest.
Yay!
Yeah, I was going to introduce you later, but you we were like, if you have something to say, say it, and you decided to say something. So now I'll introduce you.
That's good because you do. You had a connection to it. You yeah. know, you had something to say, so that's good.
Any more on Arlie Ermey?
No.
I just freaking love him as this, like as dumb as it is, like the stupid Green Army Man in Toy Story.
Because it's the same, yeah, it's the same thing.
But it's like the kid version, but it's still right. like the adult, like that character is like the adult version.
Well, I think
or
even
the adult jokes in the kid movie.
Well, I think even in the kids movie, the adults who are watching it is
right.
going, "Oh my God, that's
Arlie Ermey.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's Gunnery Sergeant Hartman.
Right.
Your senior drill instructor."
Yeah. It takes you back. It's unmistakable.
For
right?
sure.
It takes
yeah.
you back to
his voice.
Private Pyle, and you're like, "Oh my
yes.
gosh."
Yes.
Nope. It's perfect. And that's why it's like, man, oh man. He just was like Hollywood's drill sergeant, and it was yeah. fantastic. So, yeah, he'll be missed as well. They'll all be missed. Everyone will be missed. It's a
yes.
bummer.
Yep. So I think that's all the fatalities.
There was a couple more. Like, there was a DJ that...
That's right. Who, but I didn't really have a
connection
to
I can't say his name.
Avicii? I think it's
Avicii. I think, yeah. I just love... There's a song he has, Hey Brother. I love that song. And
I don't know that
it's so
one.
Good. And, like, I don't really have, like, a personal, like, connection or anything. Like, I just know that song. But I'm like, man, that was a good song. But it's a bummer because he was, like, 26, 28, something like that.
Yeah.
Just young. And it's like, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
So... yeah, a lot of sadness, and we're going to talk about something that's equally kind of sad. Not really, but kind of.
Yeah, like you know,
there.
Like I say, yeah, we're going to celebrate it. You
yes.
know, for the most part, and the great and the great memories.
Absolutely,
so.
But first, we're going to take a quick break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Fans, take a look at this. Can you believe that? Perhaps even let's compare it to the size of my head, Andre. The
And from Grenoble in the French Alps, weighing 477 pounds, the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
He's stronger than all of us. He's bigger than all of us.
Oh, Andre the Giant off the top turnbuckle.
He kept everybody in line. He was the guy.
He was famous on a different level, literally the biggest celebrity in the world.
How about your diet? How much food do you eat a day?
You knew that you were seeing something unique in the world.
Andre was an attraction. There was no level of comfort. It had to be an uncomfortable life.
There is only one.
They think of him as this legendary drinker. He drank because he was in pain.
People would not leave him alone.
The reality of who he was getting more intense on him. He knew he wasn't going to live long.
month after month, you can see Andre failing.
Andre commanded great respect. He was not the most articulate man in the world.
Look at me when I'm turning to
you. He spoke in other ways.
Oh, boy, look at that.
He was a figure of the imagination come to life.
Mother Nature has done something really magnificent here.
He did sports entertainment before there was sports entertainment.
Yeah!
I can't believe it. This is unreal.
Back to the show. What's happening in that video when they said back to the show?
It's like a claymation cartoon thing.
But you know exactly, you know what's like.
Yes, now that's where, now I can find it. I was like trying to picture it. That's right. What it is. Back the drum and the show. Yeah, oh, there we go. I got it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to just look it up.
You should.
And watch it. So
you.
I don't have a, yeah, because I don't have a direct, curious. Yeah, I don't right. have a direct like memory of that because it was just a little bit
right after
my Saturday yeah. morning Saturday time. Morning. But.
But anywho, we're back, and our guest is once again Becky Bissett. Becky Bissett. And yeah, we're talking about the Andre the Giant documentary. Is it called Andre the Giant Larger Than Life? Or is it just Andre the Giant?
I thought it was just called Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant?
Yeah, but it's on HBO.
It's on HBO, HBO Sports documentary, and it's fantastic. Now, do you either of you have personal connection with the story of Andre the Giant, or?
Well, for sure. I mean, like. For me, I remember Andre the Giant, like, and they explain it in this movie, which is really good. How they explain how wrestling before it became this big
before
right. cable, it was this regional thing.
Sure, and, absolutely.
And I don't know if you guys remember any of the regional stuff.
I do not,
but I do.
I was around right at the
beginning of the cable.
Right at the beginning of cable,
yeah, which was like in the 80s.
Like 80s. Yep. That's right. Exactly when I watched.
I remember in Chicago being very young. Mm-hmm. So in the 70s, they had wrestling that came on in Chicago, and there were regional wrestlers.
Sure.
And there was like Gorilla Monsoon and like these other characters, Ivan Roshki and who did the Claw and all these characters.
Sure.
And the same thing was in Portland, Oregon had like Buddy Rose and these other characters. And then when we moved to South Carolina, they had, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat and all these characters that would wrestle there.
Well, it's crazy that you mentioned some of these people like Ric Flair. And like he became like WWF, like he was one
right.
of the guys.
Yeah.
And so it's like one of the, they took, like they say eventually in the documentary as well, like Vince took all the best of the regional guys and he's like, we're going big with this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, it was certainly an opportunity. Like when once right. there was like cable that every home could like all of a sudden view the same wrestlers and
right.
and have a card that everybody would watch. Yeah, that definitely changed it.
Absolutely.
But I remember before that, hearing about Andre the Giant, and since then, it was before internet, before cable.
Right.
It was always this mythical type of thing.
There's
like
guy, Andre the Giant.
And then if you ever like saw, it was like, what? You know, because he would just tower over everybody else, just monstrously big. And yeah.
Did you ever see like a match or anything?
No,
no.
The only time I ever went to wrestling was when we did our wrestling episode,
just
like
recently.
A couple years ago.
Oh, and you went to the one, the private, yeah, the ones here.
Yeah, which was so fun.
Yeah.
It was.
But did you watch, was he ever on like one of the regional shows at?
No, I just remember like hearing about him. Like I don't ever remember watching like one of the regional shows and seeing, but I just remember hearing about him for a while, it
yeah.
seemed like. And then all of a sudden I remember when it became big in the 80s and we all started watching, that he would show up and it was always like, whoa, you're like this guy, like clearly, yeah. clearly this guy can't be beat.
Right.
Like,
he's undefeated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of superhero talk. Like when we would talk about who would be
who would
Hulk
win.
Or the Thor.
Right. Who you would know, win? Who's stronger?
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. And that Andre the Giant was like, well, clearly he's the biggest and best guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was always a myth.
Yeah.
Well, they talked about that too. Like that it took the cable to get it. To bring it to reality, because that's like mm-hmm. you just saw a flyer, you just saw
right.
something random. Nobody really knew how big he was because nobody had ever seen him unless you were in his region.
Right.
Well, like you just heard about it.
Well, and another thing, I found so many things about this documentary fascinating. so many things because I didn't know any of
it. It was mind-boggling. Like, so much information. I just kept, like, well, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, and it can't, and, like, the things that they kept mentioning, like, the whole, like, Vince was like, I got it from my dad, and then I was like, I'm going to take this national, and I'm going to do cable. And, like, I didn't even process in my brain, like, wrestling before cable.
Right.
That's how I ever knew. That's how I thought it always was.
And then it got me thinking, like, you know, I'm so old or whatever. It was like, I remember life before cable. And so it's like, oh, that's weird. Like, click, 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 like clicking the four channels on the TV. Yeah. And it's like, oh,
one of your local channels would have
it. I remember life before cable. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then I remember watching wrestling on cable. And I was like, cable's so cool. I can watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, opened my mind to all this crazy other stuff. And, like, just the fact that it took me down this weird cable route and it educated me on wrestling. Like, it was almost a wrestling documentary.
Yeah.
Like, wrapped around Andre the Giant. I'm like, thank you for this knowledge. Like, this is crazy cool. Like, it was just so many different aspects. And the fact that he was so, you know, you use the word mythical or whatever, but he wouldn't just stay in, like, I'm a Chicago guy. He would be like, I will sell out your arenas, and so I will travel to every region, and I will be Andre the Giant at everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap. Like,
he was international. Right. He did a lot of stuff in Japan, and then he wrestled, like, literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And he even started in France before he even got here. Like, No idea.
That was really cool, like, seeing this old black and white footage of him as such a young and thin man.
Right.
You know, this real tall and as a teenager.
He was 15, I think, in that clip, or 19 or something. Yeah. Super young. Yeah.
And but his just innocent, like, look on his face, or he's talking to the guy, and they're like, how much do you weigh? And he's like, 305 pounds or something. And then he's just got this innocent smile, like, and, you know, clearly a very nice guy.
Right.
And, dealing with a condition that gave him everything he had.
Yep.
And probably took it all too.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. Like, you don't, like, I honestly didn't, you know, you don't think about that. Like, why was he so tall? Why was he so big? Like, you don't think, like, oh, he had, I don't know the technical term of it, but they called it gigantism.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, you don't even, I never even thought about that the entire time that I ever thought about Andre. I just thought he was grown a big dude. Like, he just was born and he was just a big, big dude.
I think I had thought about it because of, like, the protruding brow.
Right.
And some of these, like, physical characteristics that kind of, like, would tell you about it.
Well, once they, like, drew attention to it, because I still hadn't even thought of it, but then when you look at the footage, even through his wrestling career in the United States, you saw it continue because that kept growing.
Right.
Like, you'd see the pictures and you go, oh, look at there, and oh, look at 10 years later, like, oh, but I didn't notice that when he was actually, like, wrestling or like, doing anything. And he didn't know until he broke his foot.
That's true, right?
Yeah, went to the doctor, and they were like,
you know you have this thing, right?
Yeah, he's like, no.
But by then it was like,
yeah.
That probably had to be, in this, some sense, kind of eye-opening and like, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
You know, and maybe, and I don't know if it was, like, tragic for him or, but, I mean, it couldn't have been. Because you had to be wondering, like, why am I so much bigger than everybody?
Well, and it wasn't just felt it. I mean, he's like, this is, like, I'm big, but, like, this is going to suck at some point. Like, my body hurts, I ache. Like, you know, he aged faster than other wrestlers. Like, I'm sure he knew but didn't know.
Right.
Well, and, like, because you can see another, 7'2", like, basketball player or whatever, but they're not Andre the Giant size. Like, it's weird. Like, you can see another tall person, but when you put your when that tall person puts their hand up to Andre the Giant's hand, it's like, dude, your fingers are like my hand.
Yeah.
Like, one finger is like my fist.
Yeah.
Like, everything about him was just big. It's like, it's crazy. So,
and I only ever really saw him in the ring. Like, when you actually see the documentary and you see them putting his hand in relations to things, and, like, you see him in real life,
Yeah, he's holding a beer can, and it's like,
it disappeared.
It looks like a
right.
Yeah, like, if you're holding, like, a V8 juice can, like a little 8-ouncer.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even an appropriate, like,
hey, look, I'm Andre the Giant.
Right, but that's not even, like, it's not even the same. Like, those still look like a decent sized can while I'm holding it, but, like,
it was unreal.
Engulfed this beer can. It's like, what?
Yeah,
that's nuts. And his body just, like, handled all of it. Because they go into his whole alcoholism and stuff in the doc, but it's not even about alcoholism. It's like, he drank, like, cases of wine.
Because he didn't feel it. Because he didn't even, he was like, I don't ever get drunk.
On me.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Like, he maybe got, like, buzzed.
Do you remember, like, the body weight versus drinks per hour scale, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like,
it's like when you're 480 pounds, like, well, I guess.
When do you start to, we're going to need a calculator for that.
So. No, there was just so many different aspects of this documentary that just took me to, like, oh crap, I didn't even think about that. Like,
and that's what I just kept saying, like, as Mike and I watched it, and I was like, this is absolutely mind-boggling. I couldn't even wrap my head around all these crazy details.
And then, like, his handler, what was his name? Billy something, I think. Anyway, he was like, he traveled all the time because that's how he made his living. Right. He's like, we're going to Japan because they need to see Andre the Giant. It's a 14-hour flight or whatever. And he can't even fit in a seat. And then he can't go to the bathroom.
They had to have a bucket.
Like, they pulled curtains around him, and he went in the bathroom in a bucket.
That's rough.
And, like...
But you didn't even think about that.
Never would have thought. Like, dude, how could... And then you see him sit in a car, and he's like, I can't sit in cars. There's no beds big enough in hotel rooms. Like, nothing in this world is made for me.
Yeah, and also,
and, like,
how
it blows my mind. And you just, like, so heartbreaking.
They make things for small people. They make things for handicapped people. Right. They make things, but they don't make
they
things
don't
for
make
people
things
like
for big
me.
People, yeah. Right.
And it was also interesting to hear, like, that you couldn't escape it. Like, you know, like, Michael Jordan could put on a hat and glasses and kind of go to a mall.
Yep.
But you can't, when you're 7'6" or, you know, and 500 pounds, you're not going to get A to B without people
you
noticing.
You don't blend in.
Right. Yeah. So
he could never, like, he couldn't go to the grocery store and be like, I'm just going to put my hat and glasses on. Nope, you're Andre the Giant all the time.
Now, I'm sure that there is a whole swath of the public who weren't wrestling fans and probably never, but saw him in Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Which was perfect.
No, he is the, like, probably, oh, I love,
clearly,
love,
like they said,
love that movie first and foremost.
Me too. Like, I think everybody does who's ever seen it. So, but they said that, and I didn't know this, that the guy had written it. What's wrong with me? He writ it up real good.
Yeah.
But he wrote it for Andre the Giant with him in mind.
Because he was like, there's nobody else that could do it. Like, we need a giant. And, like, it's crazy because in the wrestling world, up until the very, very end, he was always a face. Like, he was always, like, this mythical, like, epic, like, you're going to succeed. You're the good guy, Andre the Giant.
Right.
And so then when you see him in Princess Bride, you're like, dude, like, not only are you this, like, good guy, you're this lovable.
Yes, yeah, super,
like,
lovable.
Super lovable, like, definition of, like, gentle giant. Like, you're just like, man, oh, man.
Could you
be any more, like, charming or innocent or cute? Like, it's you're just like, man, everyone loves Fezzik because he's so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, Andre the Giant is so perfect in that part.
Will you please stop rhyming?
No more rhyming, I mean it.
Right, yeah.
Come on, man.
Anybody want the peanut?
Come on.
Good job. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Jared for the win. Boom. Yeah. Good one.
But, yeah, a lot of people know him from that. And, like, I liked how they brought that in. Like, they talked to Rob Reiner and Billy Crystal and Carrie Ewells. And I was like, oh,
Robin,
man.
Robin Wright was there. Yeah they... Well, I think that, like you said, and a lot of people didn't watch wrestling, especially now, and, you know, kids now would know, like, Raw and all that stuff, like, not then, and that ties it to the general public so much.
Well, and, like, it was, and I grew up watching wrestling and stuff, and so, like, it was fascinating because it wasn't just an Andre the Giant doc, like I said, it dives into the wrestling world, too, and, like, Hogan is, like, a big contributor of the documentary, and, like, he's talking about, like, you know, he passed the baton because it was him, and then it was me, and then, like, he basically gave it to The Rock, and then The Rock gave it to John Cena, and, like, you don't think about these things in the wrestling world because it's just dumb wrestling or whatever, but... It's not. Like, there's this whole...
You have a role. You're, like, a villain.
Right,
you're a good
face
guy.
Of
you're
heel, like, all this stuff. And, like, Andre was always this hero. And then he's like, I'm going to pair up with Hulk. And, like,
that's what did, like, it for me. I was a Hulk fan, so I always associated Hulk and Andre. And it was, like, this huge thing. And what I found, like, crazy was I had never imagined, like, Hulk wrestling after Andre the Giant, when he said, I grew up in junior high watching Andre wrestle, I was like, oh my God. I didn't even think that Andre the Giant was wrestling, like that he was that much older, and he had been wrestling for two decades already and whatnot. Like that, I had just always associated them together, and like they started together. They were this, they were friends, and that was how I. That was how I thought of him. So it took this whole different time frame on, and it brought that back so much further.
Yeah,
because I didn't even think about that. It's almost
like it reminds me of like you hear like a Ken Burns jazz or something like that, where they talk about these people who play, or baseball even.
Yeah,
where people who play and then their career kind of overlaps with somebody else's. So like as so and so's coming into the game, someone else is leaving it, but they have this time where they're together.
They're the same.
And so that same with that kind of Ric Flair as well, because he was around for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like in the 70s.
He was around all the way up through like the early 2000s.
Yeah, which is bizarre to me. Now, exactly. Speaking of which, one of the notes that I took was that in this documentary, when they're interviewing Ric Flair, and he's not in his nature boy persona at all.
He's just a weird dorky dude.
He's a nerd. He's a dorky dude. It's a crack up. It's a crack up.
Yeah.
He's like, Andre, and he's just nerdy. He's a nerdy nerd. It's hilarious. And because he was like one of the guys who did it so well, you know.
But that's
nature boy.
But that's how all of them are.
Like, yeah,
just look at like now, because nowadays they can transit, like starting with Hulk Hogan, I guess, because he was in, what was it, Mr. Nanny or whatever he was in, the babysitter. Huh? Hulk Hogan's like nanny movie. You never saw this movie?
No.
Wasn't that?
I thought it was The Rock or something.
The Rock.
Nope.
Hulk Hogan did a nanny.
Yes, 100%.
Yes. I don't remember.
We're gonna need to Google. Yeah,
I will. I will as soon as I'm done. I will. I promise you. He was in a movie.
Okay.
Suburban Commando is, I believe, the name of the movie.
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
Anyway, I hope my brain's not letting me down.
Starring
right
The Rock.
No.
Just kidding.
But anyway, like, you find, when you're watching them as wrestlers, you're like, you guys are just these meathead, like, dumb jockey wrestlers. But then you're like, oh, wait, no, you're like a human.
It is.
Human that has their own like an actual personality.
Like that's not who you really
are. You don't walk to the grocery store like, yeah, brother, I'm gonna rip my shirt off. Like,
right.
Well, and that's how it was listening to Hulk like talk. Just you know, I've known that, but you're just like, but whenever I saw you on TV during wrestling, you never broke that character. You never used your regular voice. Like you never ever saw that. So as a kid, that's what you thought was real. You're like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
And you bought into, I mean, that's the thing too. And that's the thing that's crazy about wrestling, because when I was little and when you guys were starting to watch it in the 80s, there was, I don't know when the point was, but there was a point when they had to admit that it wasn't real.
Oh, that's fake. Right.
Yeah. There was a legal thing that happened, I think in the 90s maybe or something.
Really? I don't remember that.
Do you remember that threshold being crossed at all?
No, I always kind of
because there was a time.
I always kind of knew.
Well, there was a time. I don't know exactly when. I want to say maybe in the late 90s, where there was a legal thing, and so they had to call it entertainment instead of sports, instead of athletics, because there's like athletic commissions for different states that had certain rules and regulations, and so in order to get they had to admit. Okay.
Because it was an unknown outcome, because it was kind of a known outcome, or because it was choreographed and it was organized.
Right,
and
through this and through some of the other, there's been some other good wrestling documentaries. The one on Ric Flair is really good, too.
I haven't seen that one.
It's really good.
Yeah.
That where they, you know, they tell you, you know, that, well, you know who's going to win, and then the two guys or four guys, if it's a tag team, kind of working together. Some of it's scripted, and some of it's like kind of a
improvised
dance that they're doing, and they're communicating the whole time to try to make sure, you know, to make sure everything's safe and everything happens right. But as a viewer, as a kid viewer especially, it's all real.
Hell?
Yeah,
right.
It's all, you know, and you buy into all the drama that's happening during the interviews with everybody. And I remember that interview where Bobby Heenan gets Andre the Giant to join his team.
Oh, the pre
WrestleMania 3, right?
Right, and that like blew. That was like mind-boggling for everybody.
Dude, I remember because it was vividly.
Like, how can Andre know? Like, right? That can't happen.
Well, and when they mentioned that part in the documentary, Hulk Hogan's talking about it. He's like, I had Vaseline on my finger or whatever to try and, like rub so I could squirt a tear out or whatever.
Right.
But then he's like, no, I cried anyway because, like, it literally is best friend in the world. Like, it's acting or whatever. Right. But, like, when your best friend is like, I hate you and you suck, like, and now I'm going to turn on you. Like,
when he grabbed his chin, look at you, I'm talking to you.
You're like, man,
he just got schooled.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, yeah, it turns out I didn't need the Vaseline. I just went with the emotion of the situation anyway.
Yeah. Like a real actor.
Right. Like in Suburban Commando.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He killed Suburban Commando. Dude, his scene with the little girl when she's like,
I'm telling you, that's what it's called. Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
But
that particular
just
that
like, yeah,
event.
when he went face to heel, and like so that blew everyone's mind in the real world. But then you find out in the documentary and like why he's like, I'm on the out and I can't do this any longer, and we need to make Hulk Hogan
the champion.
We need to make he was the champ, we need to make Hulk Hogan the guy,
the face of the
Andre had never been beat before. So they're like, how can you really be the new champion if you haven't really beat it?
Right.
But Andre never really won championships, but he was just unbeaten.
Right.
So
Well, that's they mentioned that in the documentary too. Like they never gave him a title shot because it was inconceivable.
Right.
Because nobody could beat
him. Think that means what you think it means.
Because people watching wouldn't be like,
they'd be like,
thanks. You can't beat that guy. Like, it's fake.
But it was possible. Like, could Hulk really do, could that happen?
Right.
Because, I know Hulk's big too, but I didn't realize he was like 6'8". Like, I know he's a big guy, but I was like, damn, that's still all of it. Just seeing it, I'd never been to a wrestling match, so I had never seen that in like real life.
I think when they used to tell, they pump up your stats,
Said Andre maybe was not quite over 500 pounds, they're like, we may have played with that a little
bit. But I think when Hulk Hogan came out, there were times when they were like, that they would say he was 7 foot tall. Like, he's 7 feet tall. And I remember, oh, he's big. And him picking up Andre the Giant was such a monumental moment in culture. Like, it seemed that nobody can slam Andre the Giant, and like that he did it.
Well, and that was one of those they said that Hulk didn't even know the outcome of that fight. Like, he set up everything, and then he was like, so what is the end? Like, what are we going to do? And he didn't know till that moment.
Don't worry about it.
When he called it. Yeah, he called slam, and it was like, I got to catch you because you're running at me. Like, this has to happen.
Okay, so I cried at that part when Hulk Hogan was talking about that match.
I know.
Like, I legitimately, I wasn't, sobbing like a baby, but
it was
like,
good.
holy crap, that's
playing
emotional.
Music. Yeah.
Well, because
that's the official passing.
Well, and he wrote this, he's like, Vince sat down, he's like, well, how do you think this is going to go? And he's like, well, let me tell you. And he, wrote out the whole thing.
Hulk wrote everything.
Like, he wrote the match.
With Andre.
Hulk wrote it.
I thought Hulk wrote it. Like, Andre asked, he said, how are we going to do this?
No, and that was Vince McMahon that asked, and he was like, let me write it out.
Okay,
because Andre the Giant had nothing to do with that conversation. That's why Hulk kept asking, are we good? Are you
really going
to lose?
Are you going to follow
this? Are you going to lose? Are you going to turn around and win?
He didn't even know until they stepped in. Are you going to follow what I've laid out?
Right.
And he goes, he started doing it. Like, okay, first move, second move, we got it.
Oh, he's doing it. He's hitting me. Okay, I blocked it.
They didn't know ending.
And they had no ending. And then he was like,
hollered.
When he's like, start calling out, slam, and he's like, oh, I gotta slam Andre. He's like, leg drop. He's like, oh my God, are you gonna kick out? No. It was so perfectly,
it was really well done.
Yeah, he passed
it. That was really well done. Yeah, very emotional.
Yeah, oh man. Anyway, do me a favor, real quick, Becky. What does this say?
Oh my God.
What does it say on the screen?
Hulk Hogan, Mr. Nanny, and he is in a
Mr. Nanny.
He's in a pink unitard with a tutu.
So this was the first one. The caption says, he's big, he's bad, and he's babysitting. He doesn't stand a chance. That's in 1993. Okay.
I was just going to ask when that was.
All right. And then we have Suburban Commando, 1991, Bammo, an interstellar hero from a distant world visits Earth and tries to fit in with a mundane yet kind suburban family.
You know what else is a good movie?
You're welcome, Internet, for me knowing Hulk Hogan action comedy, family comedies.
I know what the Bisses are watching this week.
You'll enjoy it.
Double feature. Suburban Commando and Mr. Nanny.
Mr. Nanny. But I knew. Don't doubt my pop culture brain, BJ.
Shame on me for doubting.
But, yeah, so Anyway, that the match, the WrestleMania match, was just like mind-boggling. Now, were you like Biz said you were there, or you watched it?
We watched it. Okay. I do remember. We had like I remember watching, and again, still being younger, like you didn't understand like the magnitude. Like when we saw it on the documentary, that like that was in a football stadium. Like even when I saw it. When we just watched it, I was like, holy shit. Like I didn't realize the magnitude of the like
stadium, the whole 60,000.
Yeah. Like in the wrestling world, like what that was, it was big for me because it was Hulk and Andre, but I didn't realize like in the wrestling world what that meant. But I just remember like, you know, we had some people over and my grandma's like, oh, I want the roly poly guy to win the big one. I'm like, no, grandma, like, no,
Hulk has to win.
Like that is like in my head. Like that is like the whole thing. My grandma's like, I want the other guy to win. And
that's so funny. That's awesome.
It was like, no.
I remember. Yeah. We watched that with a bunch of friends.
I had the coloring
too.
Book. Like I had a Hulk Hogan coloring book.
Oh. Hulk Hogan was the man. But that's so funny. Like how they do that. Like, I'm sure, like, I don't watch soap operas, but my mom loves, like, Days of Our Lives. And I'm sure there's, like, you're supposed to like Dr. What's-His-Face, and you're supposed to hate Dr. What's-His-Name.
Yes.
And wrestling's the same way, where it's, like, you are supposed to like the Hulk. And you're supposed to hate whoever he's fighting. And you can like that person. You're like, yeah, you know, like, or modern day, like, you're supposed to like The Rock, and you're supposed to hate Triple H. But you like Triple H, you just hate him at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, okay. And so it's like, it's crazy that they orchestrate and write, like, now you're going to like the Hulk. And everyone was like, yeah.
Okay,
like, I do like Randy Savage, but you know what? That Hulk Hogan, like, he's really good. And so it's crazy that you're just supposed to go with it. And you do, because that's what they're putting out there.
So, what was I saying about something about the
Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
WrestleMania. Watching WrestleMania with people?
Well, I just remember like that event coming out, and the first one with Mr. T.
WrestleMania 1.
With Mr. T, which was so crazy. Uh-huh. Do you remember?
Also in a Rocky movie.
Yes.
The same Rocky movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
But Rocky 3. That number 3 was just such a cultural event, like for all of us.
Well, that and it,
WrestleMania 3.
When was WrestleMania 1? Was it? It was also during cable, right? Like.
I believe so. Yeah,
because, it had to have been.
Yeah, because it was a big deal. Because Roddy Piper and you want to say hey, Rez?
Yeah, you want to say hi?
Go ahead. I would love it if you said hi.
I'm gonna get your sweatshirt, okay?
He's like, I don't wanna.
He's like, no, not if you ask me.
Right. But yeah, moving on from like WrestleMania, like, and finding out that he was basically dying ever since he was born. That's dumb because everyone is.
Right.
But when he went to the doctor, they told him like, you got like 40 years, like tops.
And he learned that in his probably mid-30s when he broke his ankle, and they were like, we can't fix what's been done, but we could slow it. And he said, no, it's my career. I can't. Like, he wasn't willing to give up his whole life of a wrestler.
Well, and that's what led to the WrestleMania, where he's like, I can't do this anymore. That's why he was like, I need to pass it on to Hulk. And then they're like, well, how can we do that? Like, he can't beat you. And he's like, well, you have to be a bad guy in case you guys are friends. And that's like what turned the tables on that whole thing. And like, and then after that match, like, you found out that like he's just, or even in that match when he's like, he goes to, you know, bear hug me, and I'm standing up as straight as possible.
So like, he doesn't have to do it.
Normally, he'd pick me up and throw me around, but Hulk's like, I just stood there.
He literally can't do it.
I just stood there as tall as I could, so that way he didn't have to bend over. Yeah. And, like, you're just finding out all this stuff, and it's like, man, he can't even walk.
When you watch the footage, you see a lot of it is that Hulk's getting slammed around until the very end.
Right.
Like, there's not a lot being thrown at Andre that he's having to take or hit, or like he's doing most of the damage until the very end when he gets slammed.
Right.
Like he just makes it through.
And it is bizarre because in hindsight, like it's easy to see, oh, you know what? I remember he didn't do a whole lot in that match.
Yeah.
You know,
he just lost. That's what everyone remembers.
I remember him getting slammed. Right. That was real big. But like they were like working all around his limitations. Like what can he and can't do? He can't do a lot of stuff. So he has to stand there and
be menacing.
And it works. Right. Yeah, Hulk, I mean, it works.
Hulk came to him, and then he blocked everything from the Hulk, and he just pushed the Hulk around.
Yeah,
like,
and push him over and
stood there and did his bear hug and like and Hulk sold everything, like hulking up and all this stuff, and it's like, oh crap. And then Andre's like, yeah, let's end it, let's do it, you got this.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine him coming at you going slam and you're right, like, oh dear God, he's jumping into my arms. Like, I have to catch him because he's going to jump. Like, yeah. I have to get him over my head to make this happen. And, like, he didn't know until he yelled it and he was like, okay, here we go. This is it.
This is
going to
happen.
And he's like 500 pounds at that point in time, too. Like, holy crap. Good Lord.
Please, can I
but
do
then,
this?
Like, after that happened, like, he was still wrestling briefly, but, like, they showed, like, his later matches where it's like, he couldn't even, like, he had to have his hand on the ring, on the rope the whole time.
It was
and,
rough.
Like, he couldn't.
It was rough.
And
he would tag team a lot.
Like, I don't remember. Yeah, he would just stand there and be like, here I am. And, like, yeah, tag me in and I'll come and punch the guy and then you pin him. Like, and he just didn't do anything anymore. But
you
but
didn't
he was
think
just
about
there.
It until they brought it up. Then you remember, like, after that, I would be like, you're right. I did remember him, like, hanging in the corner a lot or, like, using the ropes all the time. But you never thought about it until they said
that
it. And then you were like,
he had to.
Because as a kid, I didn't know that he was dealing with that.
And you don't want to think about that. All you're thinking about is the cool drama. And this is like, this is like,
he's that big because he's really a giant. He's not in pain. He's not hurting. Like, you don't.
What's up, dude? You gotta go potty? No? Okay.
A little.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Maybe I should have tried twice.
I'm good.
But yeah, like, just finding out that, like, he was just holding on, like, as long as possible. And then it's like, man. And then he, like, when his, what was his dad? I think his dad died. And he's like, I gotta go back home. Going back home. And then when he was there, he's like, yeah, this is it for me too. And it's like, man, good Lord. He's just like checked out. Like, yep, it's time.
That's, that's
and it was so, so sad. Because, well, and like, you, and also you don't find out about, like, we mentioned the fact that he couldn't go anywhere, and so that's why he lived in, where was it, North Carolina.
He found that sanctuary.
He found that tiny little ranch, or big ranch, I guess. Right. But, like, he's like, this is where I live, and I'm never here because I travel 300 days of the year, or whatever they said, some astronomical amount of time. And so he hired the people, or not hired.
He gave it to them
to live there. Like, hey, take care of my house and, like, be part of my family or whatever.
You live there, yeah.
And, like, they were, like, his family, basically. And so when they were, like, oh, he went off to France for his dad's funeral, and, like, he didn't come home, and, like, what's happening? Like, it was just heartbreaking to, like, find out that side of the story.
Well, and
like,
you find out that he had a daughter.
Right.
You know, that you know, was never really an option to kind of be the traditional dad, too.
Because he's like, I travel 300 days a year. Like, I can't bring my daughter around. Like,
and that was heartbreaking. I mean, she said, like, I forgive him. I understand. Right. Like, I get it. Yeah. But, like, to know that and be like, I can't, what do I do? How do I do this?
I mean, we all, like, that's the human condition, is to kind of, like, reconcile your position with your parents and, like, their, and what they did. I mean, this is all kind of the story repeating itself over and over again.
Right.
And so her being able to kind of, like, say that. Now, in hindsight, because at the end of the movie, you find out that I don't know how much money it was.
Oh, he left everything.
But he left everything to her, which is sweet. That's what you do. You know, he has one child, and you give it to her. And that probably, like,
He would see her when he was, like,
when he came to that town.
On the coast. Yeah. But, you know, like, how much contact. They didn't go into a lot of detail about, like, in between, if, you know, how much contact
there
was.
Because it's also, like, it's pre-internet, pre-cell phones. Like,
it's like writing
a
letter. Like, hi, I'm coming. Can we hang out? Like,
just trying to think of when the last time I wrote a letter was. Like, I remember you used to do it all the time. Like, write all big letters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, but, man.
And so, like, it's such a bummer where you're like, man. And she says, like, I knew he wanted to be my dad, but he, like, all he had was being Andre the Giant. And when you have to travel that much, like, there's no way. And so it's like, man, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
But, it was a fantastic, like chronicling that era.
Right.
Like,
that is the perfect way to put it.
And in so many of our lives,
it's
like,
more than just the Andre the Giant documentary.
Yeah. It was a story that kind of, that what wrestling meant to so many people means, and still in some sense, but like, it was different back then. It was like,
it was a timeline changer for me too. Like, it was that, like, realizing things were so different than I just thought they were in my little, like, this is what I'm watching in my little, my TV. And,
exactly.
You know, Andre and Hulk have always been friends, and they, you know, did everything together, and it just took it into this whole other universe. And it was so cool.
I got such a kick out of, First of all, everyone loves, like, Randy Macho Man Savage.
Macho Man, whoa. Randy Savage.
Bonesaw. Well, I forgot the line that you say from
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Bonesaw is ready. I got you for 3 minutes.
Anyway, I could see Randy Savage all day, every day.
But it was funny, yeah, to hear, like, Hulk Hogan doing a Randy Savage thing.
They all do their voices and their personas and like,
oh brother, ooh, in the other hand, ooh brother.
And they did, you know, they like that Andre didn't like some of them and would be like, no, like I don't like no baby oil, like no,
don't do that.
No baby oil.
Like it's just like, oh my god.
And then just the image of him putting his big butt right in his face, like he hated Randy Savage, just like slapping him. That's I remember amazing. Watching these matches sometimes, and you would hear like this.
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh, you're that like, one was real. Oh, that had to really hurt.
You know, like there's never. And I remember like there's never. They never punch anybody, but like it always. I never thought about it.
Right.
Like that's just against the rules. You know. So you could bring like a little arm bar down, or you can bring like.
There's no
you
contact.
You could slap. Like, yeah, you could slap.
There was like
right.
no like fist to like
right,
cheek.
Right.
Like,
yeah. But. butt in your face.
Yeah.
The stink face. That was another wrestler.
Oh. Rikishi.
That's who it was.
Yeah, he rubbed his butt in your face.
Oh.
Yeah. Here it comes.
That was
the
his
stink,
move.
The
giant
stink face.
Swag.
And he was a big.
And he wore a thong.
Oh. Yeah,
he wore a thong. And
like how has like be like? Oh, I got a match against him, huh?
Mm-hmm. Great. You know you're gonna get the stink face.
Who wants tradies?
Part of the deal. Rikishi, could you not do the stink face
to
me tonight?
This time.
I'm like, no, stink face is my move. And so they're calling it out, you know, in the ring. Get ready. Here comes the stink face. No. Can we not do the stink face?
Please.
Oh, man.
I think that was what was cool, though, too, is they talked about him being a fair guy. Like, he was proud that he never, I mean, because he could have literally destroyed people in the ring, and he didn't. He was proud that he was, like, a fair wrestler, and he did it with pride, and he loved what he did, and it represented who he was. I mean, maybe a few of the ones he hated, he probably threw in a few extra moves
I'll
here and there.
I'll stand on you an extra second instead of just walking over you.
That was maybe a little hard. Maybe that hit wasn't really planned, but, like, that he... Everything he did was like honest and true, and he never cheated anybody, or he wasn't dirty or underhanded. With
I'm
his
sure
moves.
That like that's because I that step on where he's standing.
Oh, yeah.
That like if it's done, you know, if he's not jumping on somebody, but if he could step on him, it just looks impressive. I'm sure it's
you
like
can
still,
roll through it smoothly,
right? I'm sure it's still like it's taxing. You're like totally clenching and trying, but it's not. It's an effective thing.
It's not
like
a stomp.
It's so, and you see, like, the giant is standing on him. You know that hurts.
He can't possibly get up after that. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, and like you said, just finding out that he's just a genuinely good guy. Like, he just cared about everything he did.
And that came across. I mean, that came across, especially, like, for folks who, like, Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just, you can't not... That's how it is with a lot of people. You can't like not see their goodness. You know, you're like, you know. And
well,
so,
and they were saying again that was also towards the end of his life or whatever. And like,
he Carrie's was already
like,
hurting.
He's like, he couldn't do the fight scene. Like,
he couldn't catch me.
Robin Wright's like,
Robin
he
Ryan.
Can't. I'm supposed to fall in his arms, and they had to like wire her up and like lower her down. It's like, man, oh man, like. You don't, again, on the other side of the camera, she falls out of the window and he catches her.
Yeah, I remember her floating, like, particularly, like, slow float.
Right.
And I just thought, oh, well, that's cool. I never thought
that.
That's
a cool
cinematography. She's a princess. She's
And it's a movie, like, and she floats. Yeah, she floats like that. You
it's
know?
Whimsical. Uh-huh. Right.
Hello, lady.
Yeah.
Well, but to know that and to realize it, like, he, like, we all go, like, oh, yeah, the wheels are falling off. Like, oh, my shoulders hurt, my knees hurt. Like, but
I'm
to realize
older,
it in that magnitude, that young, that hard, and then having that job knowing, like.
Yeah, especially when that is your bread and butter.
Well, when he had to have, like, spinal surgery, and then he had to have knee surgery, and then he
knees,
had to do, like.
How massive
yeah,
those.
They're just like, let's go in there and give you
can.
A couple years, like, so you can at least stand up a little longer, like. Because his body just couldn't do it anymore.
Well, and that's they said he kept growing through his life. Like, it wasn't like he was, like, all of a sudden, like, 9 feet tall, but his features kept getting bigger, like, around him. Like, and then
his,
you would watch.
And his
like,
organs couldn't keep up.
Like,
they
everything,
said,
like, even, like, his stature, he couldn't even, like, stand up straight anymore. Like, his spine just couldn't handle, like, the weight of himself.
Yeah.
And that was just...
But all around, like, solid documentary.
It is, like, yeah,
even
for
if you,
sure.
Even if you're like, I'm like, I don't have any connection to wrestling. I don't have a connection to Andre the Giant. What, like, it's fascinating. Just watch it. It will, like, open your mind up to so many different things you never even thought about before.
Yeah, and it will kind of cover this kind of part in time, like, yeah. From the 1980s and the early 90s and until he passed, which was when the early 90s, I think they said.
Yeah, it was earlier than I thought. Like
I thought it was
again,
too.
It was,
yeah,
that timeline thing. I was like oh, it wow. was that long ago. Like,
yeah,
really?
Like,
it was,
I didn't
like
realize
93,
that
too.
Yeah, early
90s,
something like that. Yeah,
I hadn't again.
I was like, oh, I
hadn't even thought of that. Was that, yeah, long ago?
It's crazy.
But
so,
great movie.
So definitely check it out. And thanks for talking about it. But we're gonna switch gears real quick, and
no,
we have a movie review to do. So I don't know if you want to hear it or not. It's about A Quiet Place. Have you seen this? Or are you gonna see it?
I don't know, but I'll take the review because I kind of like some scary movies, but sometimes I'm not really sure.
Excellent. So we're going to dive into our movie. Yeah, huh? We're going to dive in to our movie review segment with Matt Warburton.
And now another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? This week, I got down to the theater to see A Quiet Place. Now, I've been seeing previews for this movie for a while, and it really caught my interest for a few reasons. One, I dig horror movies, especially unique ones. And two, I'm a huge supporter of anyone who is in The Office, especially John Krasinski. One of the best parts of The Office was Krasinski's character Jim constantly mugging to the camera. So you're telling me you got a whole movie of John Krasinski's facial expressions? Oh, I'm in. I'm going to put a light spoiler warning on this review, because I'm going to mention a few instances in the movie for the sake of reviewing it. However, it won't be anything that will actually ruin the movie. But just a fair warning, if you want to go into this movie completely clean, turn back now. Okay, so the basic plot is Lee and Evelyn Abbott, along with their family, live in an apocalyptic world where there are creatures with amazing hearing picking off the human race. The only way to stay alive is to live in silence. So Lee, played by John Krasinski, alongside Evelyn, played by Emily Blunt, do what they can to survive in the most quietest way possible. I actually really enjoyed the way the movie used silence as a tension builder. We don't normally see this happening in movies, or if we do, we see it in small doses used in certain key moments. In this movie, it was constant, which really made me notice the effect noise had when they used it. For example, the toy rocket ship in the beginning of the movie, when it makes a sound, it's still the sound of a toy rocket ship. However, it's way more alarming in the scene, disrupting the silence that we've just become accustomed to, and at the same time communicating the danger that a simple noisy toy can bring in this world. The noise danger also sparks a suppression factor, adding another layer to the situation. Everyone is having to suppress urges to scream or express themselves vocally. When Lee Abbott is running towards his son, who has a loud toy rocket ship, you see an inner conflict because Lee can't yell to get his son's attention for fear of adding to the noise which might bring the creatures. Since his son is distracted by the noisy toy, Lee's only hope is to get to his son before the creatures do, which is a very vulnerable situation. Simple things like this really made me love this movie because I felt it was taking me to places most movies don't. A Quiet Place continues this pattern throughout the whole movie by putting characters in situations where they couldn't help but make noise, and then they have to struggle through, which adds to the tension, including the grisliest tribute to Home Alone I've ever seen. Seriously, nail in foot penetration. The only two movies I've ever seen that in are Home Alone and A Quiet Place. Well, at least Daniel Stern could express himself with a high-pitched scream. I also like the attention to detail that the movie had. For instance, the fact that their daughter Reagan was deaf added to how the Abbott family was all able to so fluently sign to each other so quickly after the creatures had arrived. At that point, everyone in the family would have already been fluent in ASL to communicate with Reagan. Also, Millicent Simmons, the actress who plays Reagan, is deaf in real life. So good job, John Krasinski, for embracing diversity. Now, my only real complaint with this movie, which is picky, is that the few scenes that have dialogue seem like they were a tad stilted, but I don't know if that was because they were all speaking from an urgency to be quiet, but I just personally felt that there could have been more emotion in the words that were spoken than there ended up being. But then again, it could have just been masked by the need to not be heard. So overall, I thought it was a great movie, but be warned, this movie gets quiet. It doesn't mess around with how quiet it gets. So make sure when you open those candy wrappers, do it during the previews, because yes, you will be heard. Make sure that your cell phone is off, because even vibrating can be clearly heard. And definitely make sure that you don't eat anything that makes you gassy, because yes, you will be heard. But that's just my opinion. Go ahead and follow the alarm lights to the movie theater yourself and decide, because what do I know? Be sure to check back next week as I brush up that mustache, throw on my finest aviators, and sip on a delicious liter of cola, because I'm watching Super Troopers 2. Until next time, I'm Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Solid.
So did you agree with his take on the movie, PJ?
I did, for the most part. Yeah.
You sucked.
I did. You know what? That movie was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I just can't believe you hated it. It drives me crazy. Did listening to that make you want to go see it even more? Not being a scary movie person?
Well, I think for me, it's as scary as, like, how real is it? Because I don't want to see a scary movie that's going to literally make me scared to be in, like, my own house.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, what level of scary are we talking about? So knowing that it's, like, not super realistic in today's day and age.
Yeah, it's a creature movie.
That changes everything. Because in the previews, you see none of that. Like, that I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, you don't want, like, a home invasion story.
Yeah, and that's what I tell Mike. Like, what kind of scary is this? Because you might not ever be able to leave again. Like, like, there has to be levels to what I can handle. So knowing that, I was like, okay, that I could handle that, and I could see that.
It's a very well-made creature feature.
It is. Okay. And Matt did a real good job with it,
but
as usual. I didn't know anything about this movie going in, and so the
quiet was
off-putting
for him.
The relentless quietness
overwhelming.
Was much too much for me. And so I wanted it to end quicker than it did, and I hated it.
Yeah, he did not.
But it wasn't because it was like a bad movie or the acting was terrible.
It's
got
a 96% like on Rotten Tomatoes.
Anxious, like the quiet was like made you a little anxious.
No,
the
thing was, I just wasn't prepared for it. Wasn't prepared for it. So like, I'm like,
what? You can try and talk your way out of it.
I can't. I'm one of the. It's one of those. It's great. It's one of those circumstances where it's me against the world. Yeah. Everybody loves it, and I hated it.
And you're allowed to hate it.
Yeah. That's why we're in America.
That's right. So, but anyway, that about wraps up this episode. Thanks, Becky, for being here.
Thank
you guys for inviting me.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Anytime you want.
For sure.
Anytime you want.
Right.
Anything's inspiring. You're like, I want to. I just saw this thing. I got to talk about.
I want to talk about this. Hey, guys.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
Yep. Bring it on.
But thanks so much for being here. And Rez, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks, Rez.
Thank you.
I know there's a microphone off.
He's staring blankly.
I've been through this before.
I'm only going to talk when I'm not supposed to talk. Exactly. Now that you're addressing me, I will.
I tried to get him.
Yes, right.
But anywho, thanks again for listening out there. And this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And
we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 wow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.